12. The Green Death. It is one thing to approach a primeval nightmare when you're part of a crowd of 400 people. It is quite another to do so on your own. Hiccup had to force himself to put one foot in front of the other. Stoic offered to send a guard of his finest soldiers, but Hiccup preferred to go alone. Less chance of anybody doing anything heroic and stupid, he said. Although this is the part of the story that the bards tend to focus on as the bit where Hiccup was particularly heroic, I do not agree. It is a lot easier to be brave when you know you have no alternative. Hiccup knew in his heart of hearts that the monster intended to kill them all anyway, so he didn't have a lot to lose. Nonetheless, he was sweating as he peered over the edge of the cliff. There, below him, was the impossibly large dragon filling up the beach. It appeared to be asleep, but an eerie singing was coming from the direction of its belly. The song went something like this. Watch me, great destroyer, as I settle down to lunch. Killer whales are tasty, 'cause they've got a lot of crunch. Great white sharks are scrumptious, but here's a little tip. Those teeny weeny pointy teeth can give a nasty nip. How odd, thought Hiccup. He can sing with his mouth shut. Hiccup nearly jumped clear out of his leggings when the dragon opened both his crocodile eyes and spoke directly to him.
Why so odd? Said the dragon, who appeared to be amused. A dragon with his eyes shut is not necessarily asleep. So it follows that a dragon with his mouth shut is not necessarily singing. All is not what it seems. The noise that you hear is not me at all. That, my hero, is the sound of a singing supper.
A singing supper? Echoed Hiccup, quickly remembering that you should never, ever look into the eyes of a large, malevolent dragon like this one. He fixed his gaze firmly on one of the dragon's talons instead. This was a mistake, as Hiccup suddenly realised that the dragon was holding a herd of pathetically bleating sheep captive under one massive claw. He pretended to allow one of them to escape, let the poor animal practically reach the safety of the rocks, then picked it up by its wool with a delicate pincer movement and tossed it way, way up into the air. This was a trick Hiccup had often done himself, but with blackberries. Now the dragon threw back his great head and the woolly speck fell down into the terrible jaws, which closed behind it with a mighty crash. There was a horrible sound of crunching as he chewed and swallowed the unfortunate sheep. The dragon saw Hiccup watching him in fascinated horror, and he brought his ridiculously enormous head down closer to the boy. Hiccup nearly passed out as his offensive dragon breath poured out in disgusting yellow-green vapour. It was the stench of death itself, a deep, head-spinning stench of decaying matter, of rotting haddock heads and sweating whale, of long-dead shark and despairing souls. The revolting steam curled its way around the boy in repellent coils and wormed its way up into his nose until he coughed and spluttered.
Some people say you should debone a sheep before you eat it, sneered the dragon confidentially. But I think it adds just a nice crunch to what would otherwise be a bit of a soggy meal. The dragon burped.
The belch came out as a perfect loop of fire that soared through the air like a smoke ring and landed on the heather surrounding Hiccup, setting it alight so that for a moment he was standing right in the middle of a circle of bright green flames. The heather was damp, however, and the blaze flared for only a few moments, then extinguished itself.
Oops! Giggled the dragon evilly. Pardon me, a little party trick.
He then placed one gigantic claw against the edge of the cliff that Hiccup was standing on.
Humans, however, continued the dragon thoughtfully, humans really should be filleted. The spine in particular can be very tickly as it goes down the throat.
As the dragon spoke, he extended his claws, the talons slowly emerging from the thick stumps of his fingers and rising up until they resembled nothing more than gigantic razors, 6 feet wide and 20 feet long, with points on the end like a surgeon's scalpel.
Removing the human backbone is a delicate job, hissed the dragon nastily, but one that I am particularly good at. A small incision at the back of the neck, he gestured at Hiccup's neck, a swift stroke downwards, then flick it out. It's practically painless. For me, the dragon's eyes lit up with the purest pleasure.
Hiccup was thinking very fast indeed. There is nothing like staring death in the face for speeding up your thoughts. What did he know about dragons that could work against an invincible monster like this one? He could see the dragon motivation page he had written in his mind's eye. Gratitude. Dragons are never grateful. Fear. Clearly hopeless. Greed. Not a good idea to appeal to at this particular point in time. Vanity and revenge. Could be useful, but he couldn't quite think how. That left jokes and riddling talk. This dragon looked a bit exalted for jokes. But from his manner of talking, he clearly fancied himself as a bit of a philosopher. Maybe Hiccup could buy himself some time if he engaged him in a riddling conversation.
"I've heard of singing for your supper," said Hiccup, "but what is a singing supper?"
"A good question," said the dragon in surprise. "An excellent question, in fact."
He drew back his claws and Hiccup sighed with relief.
"It's a long time since the supper has shown such intelligence. They're generally too bound up with their titchy little lives to bother with the really big questions. Now, let me think," said the dragon.
As he thought, he forked a protesting sheep on the end of a talon, then chewed on it reflectively. Hiccup was sorry for the sheep, but deeply grateful that it wasn't him disappearing down the ravenous reptilian gullet.
"How shall I put it to a brain so much smaller and less clever than mine? The thing is, we are all, in a sense, supper. Walking, talking, breathing suppers, that's what we are. Take you, for instance. You are about to be eaten by me, so that makes you supper. That's obvious. But even a murderous carnivore like myself will be a supper for worms one day. We're all snatching precious moments from the peaceful jaws of time," said the dragon cheerfully. "That's why it's so important," he continued, "for the supper to sing as beautifully as it can."
He gestured to his stomach, from where the voice could still be heard, singing, though more and more faintly. "Humans can be bland, but if you have some salt to hand, a little bit of brine will make them taste divine."
"That particular supper," said the dragon, "that you hear singing now, was a dragon rather smaller than me, but very full of himself. I ate him about half an hour ago."
"Isn't that cannibalism?" asked Hiccup.
"It's delicious," said the dragon. "Besides, you can't call an artist like myself a cannibal."
He sounded a bit exasperated now.
"You are very rude for such a small person. What do you want, little supper?"
"I have come," said Hiccup, "to find out whether you come in peace or in war."
"Oh, peace, I think," said the dragon. "I am going to kill you, though," he added.
"All of us?" asked Hiccup.
"You first," said the dragon kindly, "and then everybody else when I've had a little nap and got my appetite back. It takes a little while to wake up completely from a sleep coma."
"But it's also unfair," said Hiccup. "Why do you get to eat everybody just because you're bigger than everybody else?"
"It's the way of the world," said the dragon. "Besides, you'll find that you come round to my point of view once you're inside me. That's the marvellous thing about digestion. But where are my manners? Let me introduce myself. I am the Green Death. What is your name, little supper?"
"Hiccup Horrendous Haddock the Third," said Hiccup. And the most extraordinary thing happened. As Hiccup said his name, the Green Death trembled as if a sudden wind had made him shiver. Neither the Green Death nor Hiccup noticed.
Said the Green Death. "I'm sure I've heard that name somewhere before. But it's rather a mouthful, so I shall just call you Little Supper. Now, Little Supper, before I eat you, tell me your problem."
"My problem?
asked Hiccup. "That's right," said the dragon. "Your why can't I be more like my father problem. Your it's hard to be a hero problem. Your snot-lout would make a better chief than me problem. I have helped the problems of many a supper. Somehow, meeting a really big problem like myself seems to put everything else in proportion."
"Let me get this straight," said Hiccup. "You know all about my father and me not being a hero and everything."
"I can see things like that," said the Green Death modestly.
"And you want me to tell you my problems and then you're going to eat me?"
"We're back at the beginning again," sighed the Green Death. "We're all going to be eaten sometime. You can win yourself some extra time, though, if you're a smart little crab stick. A few scraps from the burning..." The Green Death yawned. "I'm suddenly rather tired," he said. "You are a clever little crabstick. You kept me talking for ages."
And the dragon yawned again.
"I'm too tired to eat you right now. You'll have to come back in a couple of hours, and I'll tell you how to deal with your problem then. I have a feeling I can help you."
And the terrible monster really did fall asleep this time, and snored most heavily. His great claws relaxed and fell open, and the remaining sheep, their woolly sides trembling with terror, scrambled over the tops of the terrible talons and bolted up the cliff path. Hiccup stood watching the dragon thoughtfully for a second. Then he trudged slowly back through the heather towards the village. Everybody cheered when he walked through the gates. He was carried shoulder high and set down in front of his father.
"Well, son," said Stoic, "does the beast come in peace or in war?"
"He says he comes in peace," said Hiccup. There were huge hurrahs and heavy stampings of feet. Hiccup held up his hand for silence. "He's still going to kill us, though."